The Killing Season. Written by Mark Pearson and read by Mark Meadows.
Prologue. David Webb was a dead man walking, or rather, stumbling. He was blindfolded, and his wrists were bound tightly behind his back. He could feel the cold, damp wind on his face, and he shivered. Dark blood was matting his hair, blood that had left a creeping stain running from the collar on his once crisp white shirt down to his rumpled trousers that had had military sharp creases in them just hours before. "A dead man walking," he muttered to himself under his breath. He knew that much, at least, despite what they had said. Perhaps it was all his own fault, retribution for the flouting of man-made laws in which he himself saw no relevance. But he was the architect of his own misfortune, and had not been able to stop himself, much as he had initially fought against his desires. Is it not often said that the way of the transgressor is hard? Had he deserved the happiness he had found in the unlikeliest of places? He hadn't planned to fall in love. These things are out of one's hands, after all. He, of all people, grasped that reality. But perhaps this was God's punishment for it. Yet the memory of her cornflower blue eyes, her long dark curly tresses, the way she quirked a smile when he made her laugh, and the sweet musicality of that laugh. He knew he had no defences against that. He knew that if he were to live his life over 1,000 times, he would always be smitten by her purity and innocence and beauty. He had been charmed by her, in every sense of the word. The men who had struck him and held him while others bound him had lied, of course. They had told him that they were taking him somewhere safe, so that he couldn't disclose what he had discovered. They would keep him there till the deed was done, as it were. But he knew each and every one of them, and when he had looked into their eyes, he saw neither pity nor regret, just determination. For his part, David Webb wished he hadn't known what he did. But if his death prevented what was being planned, he would gladly give his life, give it in a heartbeat. Even now. Keeping her safe was his all-consuming urge. He knew what these men planned to do, and the thought of it spiked his heart. It was a forlorn hope, but his mind dwelled obsessively on the possibilities of escape. If they left him alone for a while, there was a chance. He was a strong man, a very strong man. Not strong enough to prevail against so many, but he hadn't gone down easy. There were a lot of them who would bear the mark of his fist for a long time. If he couldn't break free, he knew exactly what was going to happen, and he couldn't do a thing about it. If he hadn't been gagged so tightly, he would have been screaming in fury. But, as it was, his life was going to be taken, and he was powerless to do anything to stop that. He felt the force of the wind, which had been swirling around him like a tattered cloak, fall away, and the sound of it die down gradually behind him as he was pushed forward. The noise in the air was muffled now, and the air itself deader. The texture of the ground beneath his feet changed. The harsh crunch of shingle was replaced with softer mud, and his feet sank into it. But the winter chill was still bitingly cold, and he shivered again as he stumbled and was hauled up roughly. He could smell the salt in the moist atmosphere, could taste it. He had heard that a man's life flashed before him as he neared death. People saved from drowning told such tales. But for David Webb, only one thought stayed in his mind. The warmth of his girl's body, the incredible beauty of her smile, the soft arch of her back, and the tumble of her soft, dark hair. The music in her laugh, and the life in her eyes. For her sake, he had kept quiet, determined to take his secret to the grave with him. Taking her secret, too, protecting her in the only way he had left now. Although, given what he knew, maybe it was a futile gesture. A few months' respite, perhaps. But then he hadn't really been given a choice.